Hello and welcome to episode 245 of the Psych Files, what psychology is really all about. And this is Professor Michael Britt, here to talk to you about what a lot of people are talking about, and I think it's pretty interesting, although the title, The Reproducibility Project, doesn't sound that interesting, but it's really important, and I want to make sure that, I give you my point of view on this, because there's been a lot of articles online which distort what was really found, and I think also there's a perspective that I want to give you on all of this, which I think hopefully is something to chew on as you drive to work or do whatever it is you're doing today. So, a group of researchers chose about 100 studies, psychological studies, and tried to reproduce them. And about a third of them came out with the same results that the original researchers found. I've got lots of links to different summaries, as well as the original research, on the website www.thepsychfiles.com, and you can come and take a look at that. So what's happened, now this is an interesting finding, and yes, it's certainly discouraging, although it is not something new in terms of whether or not it's expected or not. Yes, there are some problems with psychological research that have been recognized for quite some time and are already in the process of being addressed. Now, in fact, I talked about this back in 2011 in video episode 165. So if you have got your podcast catcher on there, go back and check that out, episode 165. And in fact, back in 2012, I talked about another replication, a somewhat famous one, on psychic phenomenon that didn't find the results the original researcher found. And since then, we have been trying to change how research is done in psychology. First off, the thing that we're seeing, and this is not surprising, is that there's a tendency for both the people who are writing these articles and what I'm reading in the comments of the articles to reinforce this notion that, well, see there, I knew it. Psychology really isn't a science, and they don't know anything, and let's just throw it all out. And I talked a little bit about this again, some years ago. I had a couple of articles. I will link to them. I know that there's so many episodes, not articles. We're up to episode 245, and it's hard to know where to start. Well, hopefully, you know, you can jump in anywhere. But there was an episode, number 176, entitled, Why You Hate Psychology. And did a couple of these, actually, episode 177, so there are two in a row, called Why You Hate Psychology, in this case, media bias and misunderstandings about how science works. I think the root of it is that in our society, we like simple answers. We want the magic pill that will take everything away. So a lot of people are jumping on this finding that we didn't have a high level of reproducibility for these studies. And they want to jump on that and basically use that as evidence that psychology is all BS, and we can throw out the baby with the bathwater. There are a number of reasons why these attempts to replicate were low, and we ought to know what those are, I think. Now, first, we have this picture that science is something that occurs in some sort of, IV towers, and that scientists are, unreproachable, or almost that they're not human. What are some of the factors that surround published? Okay, so who does this research? Well, typically, psychological research, of course, is done by professors in colleges, and very often by untenured professors. And some years back, another episode I'll recommend to you is called On the Folly, and it's a summary of classic study, a classic, really just an article that appeared in a management journal, and it was called On the Folly of Rewarding A, while hoping for B. Stephen Kerr. And so I'll link to this, and that's episode 73, so it goes quite a ways back there. And so basically that article is about how, you know, we hope that this will happen, but really we're just rewarding these other things. That explains a lot of the problem that we have in research today. And even broader than that, we hope that scientists do research in you know, a very clean, clear, uninfluenced way, that they're looking for the truth, and that they sacrifice their lives, and that they are uninfluenced by money and other kinds of worldly things. Okay, that's the hope, but what's the reality? The reality is that research is done by professors looking to get tenure. How do you get tenure? Oh, you have to publish articles. How do you publish articles? Well, you do research, but the research has to come out significant in order to be published. So this is a problem that the psychological community recognizes, that journals are only publishing research that comes out statistically significant. It certainly could be very significant if a researcher studies something very important, an important topic, you know, a strategy for treating depression or anxiety, or a new way for students to learn, you know, their mathematics. I mean, from the field of psychology, you can draw from all over. There certainly are good topics to study. Problem might be a couple of things. You've got to get it published in order to get tenure. So we are rewarding published articles, and we are rewarding researchers with tenure. And tenure means money, and it means a stable job. So why would a researcher study something that might not work? It might not come out. And what are the subtle influences to these young researchers to look at the information in a certain way and to interpret the data in a certain way and to throw out data points that they might think are not quite, you know, they can think of reasons to eliminate them. And if you eliminate them, you come out with a significant study. So science does not happen in this vacuum. It has external influences which are very powerful, right? Because you don't think about it. You know, you don't want to lose your job. You want to do whatever it is you need to do. And that's not to say that these people are unethical. It just means that, you know, they're being subtly influenced to see things in a certain way and to publish certain kinds of research. And in fact, what this reproducibility project found was that the articles that they looked at were often had surprising results, unexpected results, and a lot of those could not be reproduced. And that points to yet another problem. Journals want to print significant results, studies that have that, but they also love to print studies that are surprising, that are eye-catching, that are interesting. Because remember, journals exist because people subscribe to them. And subscribers to journals are more likely to renew their subscription if they find the journal interesting. Not necessarily truthful, but simply interesting to read. And then we get out into the wide world of the internet. So you might have noticed that there's been a lot of research discoveries in psychology that are counterintuitive, that are kind of interesting. There was a study recently that showed that if you lean forward, you tend to think about the future, whereas if you lean back, you tend to think about the past. That's interesting, right? If it were true, there was research on that. But the thing is, and that's hard to reproduce, it's interesting, and it's going to get a click. So when you go online to CNN or the New York Times and other places, they're going to publish stuff like that because it gets a click. And that's what a lot, unfortunately, of the web has become about. See, the less and less that we're willing to spend on good, solid research, good, solid, long-form reporting, and the more likely we are to click on surprising, fun articles, you know, things typically about what the celebrities are doing. That's what's going to get published. That's what you're going to see. So we have a classic on the folly situation here, where researchers are looking at topics that they feel quite comfortable will be published, because they know that if they get published, they get tenure. The journals know if they publish surprising findings, it'll get picked up by the major publishers, the major news organizations. And the major news organizations know that if they put out surprising findings on the web, you're probably going to click on it. And if you click on it, then you'll go to a page where, as you know, because you've seen this, there's going to be advertisements all over the place. It's money. I'm sure you've noticed that a lot of websites, you click on something that sounds interesting, you go to a website, and the whatever it might be, whatever the article consists of, it's in a slideshow. Even though the web is obviously capable of presenting the entire article in one scrollable page, you're going to get it in a slideshow. That way you click on a button that goes to the next page, and more advertisements can refresh and show up on the page. And we can try to entice you with what we found out about you on that site over there. Oh, you're interested in this, so now we're going to entice you with that. Oh, you got to click again now. You know, you got to see more of the article. Oh, now we're going to give you more of this. Comes down to money, folks. And we're just not, we haven't set up the incentive systems here properly. And in part, it's our own fault. Because if you click on that stuff, you only click on the stuff that's surprising and might even contain a little, you know, who knows what inside information about so-and-so, or articles that confirm what you think, like psychology is all BS. If that's all you're going to click on, then you're going to keep getting stuff like that. There is good research out there that you don't even know about, because it's not surprising. It's not really that amazing, but psychologists are doing it. So, for example, here are some studies from psychological journals that probably, at least I'd never seen them, picked up anywhere in a major online website, because you know what? They're not that interesting. But if your impression of psychology is that, oh, look at this, I knew this stuff was just junk, it's garbage. Okay, listen to these. Here's some studies that were published recently, quote unquote, on these titles. A lifespan behavioral mechanism relating childhood conscientiousness to adult clinical health. Oh, boy. Right? I don't see that one being picked up. Some more. Knowing versus liking, separating normative knowledge from social desirability and first impressions of personality. Continuing, the structure of random ratio responding in humans. Next, early social deprivation and the social buffering of cortisol stress responses in late childhood. Continuing, the focal account, indirect lie detection need not access unconscious implicit knowledge. Continuing, affective contingencies in the affiliative domain, physiological assessment, associations with the affiliative motive, and prediction of behavior. Okay, there's a whole lot more psychological research being published that you are not going to hear about. Now, sometimes these things can be twisted into what sounds interesting, but of course, it's a lot less than what you think it is. Science tends to be a bit on the boring side. But if what we look at, and a lot of the studies that were looked at in this reproducibility project, and believe me, I think they did a wonderful job. I'm just saying that many of them were of this lower quality type. And I'll say that the issues that this raises have been under examination for years, as I say, and I'll point to my 2011 episode on this, and they are being addressed. There are problems, but I think, and if I put on my behavioral hat, then I'll go back to on the folly, because we have incentive systems for researchers which are out of whack, and we need to change them, and we are changing them. Okay, that's what I have to say. Hope you found this perspective interesting. Encourage you to come to the website, www.thepsychfiles.com. And hey, sign up for my Psych Snacks newsletter. Sounds like a funny name, but you know, it's a serious, just an email every once in a while with a quick little example of psychology in everyday life. All right. And if you are a psych student, go check out my apps, Psych Test Hero, Brain Mnemonics, all the good stuff that will help you do better on your tests. One last thing. I do want to thank some folks who became patrons. I have a Patreon campaign going on. You'll see a link to that on the website. People who are donating a small amount of money per month to keep the Psych Files going. Now, just recently, a couple of days ago, I reached a new high, if you will, which is there were over 20,000 downloads of the Psych Files episodes in one day. So I reached the 20,000 mark. Typically, it's around 5,000 to 7,000. That's an average. And we are closing in on 12 million downloads for the show. And it is supported, yes, by advertising, and yes, by the apps that I created, and through the Patreon campaign. So I wanted to thank Bo, as well as David, Michael, Mark, Tori, and Maria. So if you want to see this show continue or help it to, help me to do more episodes more often, then come to the website, become a patron. Okay, thanks a lot. See you next time on the Psych Files. Take care.